You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. Fight with your head, cause your life will depend on the strength that you have beside you. Oh, gotta be proud, standing out in the crowd with the odds in the game by you. Try your best to win them all, and one day time will tell. When you're the one left standing there, you've reached the final bell. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Episode time, here we go. Welcome to an episode of Cinema Crespediso, a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. Funny how that works out. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? You're listening to Florida's number one movie podcast. With me is the co-host, Drewster Cogburn.
This what guy up, right dude?
Here. It's almost the end. It's almost February 2017, which can only mean one thing.
Oscars are right around the corner, and we finally get to do our best of 2016.
And we're doing our best of 2016, better late than never. You know how it is. Some of these movies didn't come out here until like a week ago.
Goddamn Florida.
Goddamn. What is goddamn the system in general, this whole...
Fuck the system, Chris.
Let's have a dozen movies come out technically on Christmas.
Fuck the system.
But six of them are gonna come out in January nationwide. Yeah, fuck the system. The system is...
broken. Busted.
Broken and busted.
Rigged.
Or is it? No. Is it broken or is it doing exactly what it's designed to do? So we're going to talk about best and worst movies of 2016. And let's go ahead and start with the worst. Let's get these bad boys out of the way. Drewster Cogburn, what were your least favorite movies
of 2016?
Of last year.
We're going to start off with, in no particular order.
No particular order.
Independence Day, whatever the fuck that was.
Resurgence.
Yes, Resurgence.
Resurgence. I hit that button three times for some reason. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a god-awful piece of crap. Terrible. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows. Boo.
Garbage.
Boo.
So bad.
Awful.
So bad.
Gods of Egypt. Quite possibly
one
of the worst movies with the best short film in it ever.
You mean the part with the...
With Jeffrey Rush.
Jeffrey Rush.
Yes. That part of that movie, if you just... I highly recommend going on YouTube, looking up Jeffrey Rush, Gods of Egypt. That's the only part of the movie you have to watch, and it's really impressive. If you watch the rest of the movie,
it's a terrible movie. So far we've said Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, uh-huh. Independence Day Resurgence, uh-huh. and Gods of Egypt.
Yes.
All right, you've hit three of mine so far.
I'm also going to throw in Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Just Ice.
Ooh, you thought it was that bad?
The theatrical... Now, I have not seen the quote-unquote director's cut.
Neither have I, man. It's not like it's easy to get. Yeah, but actually buy it on Blu-ray or some shit.
Have not seen that. But the theatrical cut of that movie was awful.
Yeah, not an enjoyable movie at all. And it's a slog. It's long. It's kind of nonsense. That whole Martha thing is like, what the fuck?
Really
this
dumb.
This is silly. And Telegraph from Far Away.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to like it. I want to like the movie. I want to like all these movies. I want to like movies in general.
You know what other movie I really wanted to like? And I almost convinced myself that I did, but then I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same here. I really wanted to like it, but it's not this.
And the only reason why I made my bottom list was because it had so much potential. The casting was there. There was all sorts of not... It's just...
Potential, yeah, that's the thing. It's more about squandered potential than anything else when it comes to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been great, but it wasn't. Didn't make my bottom of list, but you know what?
It made mine.
It's like just hovering. It's just out of that group. it's right on the bubble.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add to the bottom of list, Chris?
Oh yeah, there's a few in a similar way because you already hit Gods of Egypt, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of Shadows, and Independence Day Resurgence. Jason Bourne bummed me out, man. It was so mm-hmm. boring.
Yeah.
So boring and so just not exciting and not cool. And like, why is this movie even existing? Why am I here?
You know his name, Chris.
Unfortunately, I do now.
It's Matt Damon.
It's Matt Damon. That one bored the shit out of me, so that one made my bottom. Now You See Me Too.
Okay.
One of the worst, like, studio movies, expensive movies, however you want to call it. One of the worst movies. So many people worked on it.
You didn't even like Now You See Me to begin with.
No. No, it was a...
And then you saw the sequel.
It was a slow weekend. It was a slow movie weekend. I went and saw that, and oh, man, it was an insulting movie. It was so bad. The movie is so bad that the big reveal at the end, like, he does this big reveal to Michael Caine and Daniel Radcliffe's characters,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, oh, shit, we got you. You know, we're the Four Horsemen, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, and Jesse Eisenberg's character says, like, something, something, something... on midnight on New Year's Eve, like ta-da, yeah. like that's a big reveal, and then he's in front of a huge crowd of people, and they're there for a New Year's Eve celebration, and this is the first mention of in the entire 2-hour movie that it's New Year's Eve. It's around that time. There's not even like a hint of Christmas anywhere. Mm-hmm. Christmas was a mere week before.
Yes,
and this movie takes place over the course of no mention of Christmas, and then at the end of the movie, it's like, oh shit, it's New Year's Eve, like ta-da. It's so. Scratch that off there. The Brothers Grimsby was egregious. Mm. I gotta say.
Never.
You didn't see that one?
No. Oh, wait. With Sacha Baron Cohen?
And Mark Strong.
Oh, you weren't man. There? No, you were there. I was. And you are right. That movie was egregious.
Egregious, man. You blocked out your
I did. I totally blocked out because I saw some iffy Mark Strong performances this year. and that one was definitely, it was pretty awful.
He's gone. At least he's stopped trying to have fun. I get it. I get why he did it. On
oh,
paper,
me too.
On paper, it should have worked.
On paper, it should have worked. Even the previews worked.
That's why it gets on the bottom list.
But the movie did not.
I was like, why is this so bad? And last two on my list for Zoolander 2. Zoolander 2 was just like an abomination of a movie, and then I found out why afterwards. The guy who came up with the Zoolander character with Ben Stiller and co-wrote the original movie, the first movie, that guy died like 5 or 6 years ago of like cancer or
okay,
something
so
of like a real bummer.
They didn't have the part 2 that they needed.
The guy who was the real genius behind Zoolander, apparently, he was gone, and that's why the soul of the movie was obviously gone because that guy died. So it almost hurts to put it on the bottom of the list, but it's the kind of thing where it's like they shouldn't have made it in the first place then. They shouldn't have gone there. It's a bummer. It's a real bummer. Also, Neil deGrasse Tyson in 3 movies this year. That one, Zoolander 2, cameos in that. Batman vs. Superman, cameos in that. And cameoed in a third movie. I forgot which one.
Man, is Neil deGrasse Tyson just like movie cancer?
He's movie poison. He might be movie poison. That's what he gets for shitting on movies all the time online.
Bill has some worst of that he would like to join. That he would like to join the list.
Okay, I have two more, but okay, I'm going to lump them together.
Yes,
13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. Remember that one, that Michael Bay movie?
That wasn't that bad.
No, I didn't like it. Technically, it was a fine movie.
Okay,
I didn't like it because of the xenophobic rhetoric, American rah-rah bullshit. Yeah, for the same reason, I did not like. London Has Fallen. London Has Fallen has all of that,
but it's also
incredibly boring and incompetent. As opposed to, at least Michael Bay makes exciting action sequences.
Yes, he does.
You know,
and the cool flares and explosions.
All those explosions are very sparky.
So many brown people die.
That's a lot of problem. I have a lot of problem with the brown people. That's the problem with that. And London Has Fallen when what's his name? Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
He has his.
He was nominated for Razzie for that role.
He should have been, because he told the guy to go back to Fuckheadistan and said, like, we're going to be around for 1,000 years.
Fuckheadistan?
Yeah, he said,
Fuckheadistan.
Yeah, he said, go back to Fuckheadistan, and then, like, killed him. That was, like, his big send off line. Yeah, a real bummer. When he said that, I was like, this movie sucks.
Wow.
It made me feel bad for giving money, like, putting money towards it.
All right, so Bill chimes in.
Yes, Billy D. Hit him up on Twitter at I Love Blood.
Woof. I'd like to throw in a caveat here. By worst movies, I mean had every opportunity to succeed and still disappointed.
Which is what we kind of brought up.
Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
All that hype, all those reshoots, two edits, and still sucked out loud. Prime example of having every opportunity to succeed. Batman v Superman, the theatrical cut. I somewhat enjoy the director's cut.
Oh,
somewhat.
Shit.
Somewhat.
Okay.
Knight of Cups.
Oh, that's Terrence Malick. Never got around to it.
Boring.
Aww.
And Jason Bourne.
Aha.
Unnecessary.
Right. So unnecessary.
Yeah, exactly.
The most. He's like, now I'm going to find out about my dad and not learn anything new.
Sure.
So stupid. But I'm going to look a little huskier. Okay. He's in his 40s.
Yeah.
Even looking fit, he's still, you can see it in his face. You start getting jowls. I'm not looking forward to my jowls. They're going to be jowly.
You're going
to
get them.
Ugh. I'm not a crook. My next one's going to get
better. Yes, you are.
It's going to get better.
You are a crook.
My next one's going to get better. So we got Billy's worst of. All right, let's see. How do we want to do best of, Drew?
Let's just do the honorable mentions first.
Fucking fantastic
So we
idea.
Can get that out of the way, because none of these movies, like,
excellent.
Even...
That's why you're the producer.
None of these movies even got close to my top 10, but they're movies that I would like to acknowledge for certain things, even though they didn't make my top 10.
But not even close to the top 10.
No.
Interesting, because my honorable mentions...
A couple of them got close.
Many of my honorable mentions are movies that could be number 10.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
They're all tied for 11, pretty much. So go ahead, let's hear honorable mention,
The Jungle Book. That movie, I mean...
I might as well check off the ones that we agree in. Yes, Jungle Book.
I mean, just the CG, it looked so real. I mean, if this is the way Disney is going to be doing their talking animals from now on,
live action,
totally okay with it.
Yeah, because that's how Jon Favreau's taking that approach now to Lion King.
It works.
Isn't that incredible?
It is incredible. And seriously, after seeing The Jungle Book, I'm so excited for The Lion King.
And
if they don't cast Jeremy Irons, I'm going to be really pissed off.
They better cast Jeremy Irons for Scar. Mm-hmm. For Scar, I got to watch Lion King and practice my Scar impression.
Yeah,
I can
exactly.
Jeremy Irons. I totally agree with all that, and I also love how this movie, they even say in the movie at the end with the credit, shot entirely on a backlot in Los Angeles.
Yep.
And so it's like, no, look like a jungle. I mean, it looked like a slightly cartoony jungle, but it looked like a jungle.
Finding Dory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pixar hit it out of the park this time. I was.
They almost do it, almost always.
I was skeptical about...
You're skeptical?
A sequel to... an already existing franchise, because they've done that with Cars 2.
Yes.
That was not good.
Yes.
And some other things as well.
Toy Story 2 almost became that. They had to save it and rewrite it and do a whole bunch of shit over it. Yes, absolutely.
So I was worried that it was going to be another one of these flops. But, you know, they show that, besides the Toy Story franchise, they can also make credible sequels to other movies.
Yes, Monsters University, another one people
not
are like,
good.
What is this?
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
so you know, I was worried.
I agree. 100%. I agree with that. Apropos of nothing, I just wanted to hit that button.
Also an honorable mention to Silence, Martin Scorsese.
I like it.
I mean,
It's an epic movie,
it,
man.
It's not going to be for everybody. I understand why it's making no money. I mean,
why it got no marketing.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Even so, I thought it was a really good movie, and it was not something that I would normally see.
No.
But I was interested.
Yes.
So I saw it.
Yes.
And it was worth it.
I love movies, and I love Japanese movies and older movies. That is something that, yeah, I wouldn't typically go out of my way to see.
Yeah.
Would I? But it's a Scorsese movie. And then you're like, what?
So it was good. Also,
That gets a kit sound. Remember? Knight Rider.
The Voyage of Time.
Yeah, I forgot about
that movie. I cannot believe I spent so much money and drove so far to see something so short, but it was totally worth every fucking second and every penny.
To be fair, it was only like $10 and change.
Yeah.
For a 45-minute documentary.
Yeah.
So to be fair, it was a reduced ticket price. But yes, we did have to like. It's a drive to get there. The drive to get there and to like sit in the theater and wait almost as long as the movie itself.
Yeah.
As such, a fast fucking 45 minutes.
It was, and it was fucking fascinating.
Considering it's non-narrative.
Yeah, I was impressed. It was ballsy to even put out in IMAX theaters, but I'm really glad that it happened.
And we saw that that expando cut, which is like a super wide screen, as opposed to like filling up top wise, it was like super long, but it was on the IMAX screen, so it was so fucking huge.
That was pretty awesome. Also, we'll mention Nocturnal Animals.
Yes. Yes, Queen. I don't have a Yes Queen button.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Tom Ford did a really good job again. The intro to that movie made me question what the fuck I was doing and why I came to see this movie.
Why are we watching this?
But then it all paid off in the end, I guess, maybe a little bit.
Well, that's the
intro. I mean, it definitely...
At least the intro pays off pretty quick. Like, okay, yeah. I see what's going on here.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was an assault on my senses, and it was a really pretty movie.
Yeah.
So, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
It gets intense. It gets so intense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, 100%.
And also, a nod to The Shallows.
Yes, shark movie.
For the first time since Jaws, I was actually, like, super hyped and tense about a shark movie. And I never thought that I would enjoy a movie starring Blake Lively, and only Blake Lively.
Yeah.
But she fucking knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, like... How many good killer shark movies are there, really?
It's not
like,
that many.
Not that many.
There's, this one makes the top of the list now.
I mean, there's Jaws.
Yeah, and now there's The Shallows.
And then The Shallows is like, and there's still a huge drop between Jaws and The Shallows. But yes, it is. Considering how many killer shark movies they make, it's incredible how many they make and how bad they all are. And that one was actually very good.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where it's so much earlier in the year, it's like, I forget about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Forget about it. But that's it. Yeah. That's all.
Those are my honorable mentions.
All right, and those are all like you mentioned them, but they don't even make your top 10. I was sort of concerned.
The Shallows was in the mix for a while, and so was Nocturnal Animals and Voyage of Time.
All right.
Jungle Book, Finding Dorian, Silence were nowhere near.
Okay, let me try to. I'll go with this and tell you the ones that I want to mention but didn't. These are all the number 12s. I have 12s and 11s.
11s.
All right. Here are your 12s. The 1-2 punch. That only makes sense. It's such a small Venn diagram that this joke works for. Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh yeah,
and Morris from America.
Yeah.
And then the team up movie.
The hopefully hopeful team up movie.
Morris,
where they go to China.
Ricky Baker and Morris team up and go to China. That'd be so. Oh my god, that'd be so funny.
A24, are you listening?
Guys, give us money. Just give us the right. They're still kids. We still have time to make this happen. They're gonna become 21. It's gonna be like Bad Santa 2. It's like Thurman Merman's. Gross looking.
Exactly.
He's just a weird adult now.
Yeah. I mean, and everybody can make a cameo, you know?
Cameo. Word up. Hail Caesar! ! Mm-hmm. It's a goddamn Coen Brothers movie.
It's
solid.
It's one of my least favorite ones.
It's minor Coens.
Mm-hmm.
Minor Coens. As such, falls out of the top 10. Doesn't get into the top 10. No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah.
In the top 10. Fargo, it's in the top 10. Something like this. Or I'll Burn After Reading.
I mean, it was a
just falls out.
It was a different kind of movie.
It's still fun. It's fun. It has its Coen sensibility.
It does.
Josh Brolin doing his thing. 10 Cloverfield Lane, loved it. Exciting.
It was great.
Great genre stuff.
Yeah.
You also said The Jungle Book. I agree with that. Elvis and Nixon is another one at the 12 for me.
Awesome.
Captain America: Civil War is a 12 for me.
I didn't even consider it.
Didn't even think about it.
I didn't even write it down when I was thinking of my top 10.
Well, I wrote it down when I just went through movies that I liked.
So did I. I didn't even bother writing. I was like, Captain America Civil War. Fuck that shit.
Because you didn't even consider it for even considering mentioning it.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll mention it. That's my number 12. one of my 12s. High Rise.
High Rise. Well, yeah. High Rise is fucking amazing.
It's going to be a 12 for me. The Lobster as well. That's like a boom. Yeah. High Rise, the Lobster. That's a hell of a double. Yeah, you want to make it a crazy triple feature? High Rise, the Lobster, Neon Demon. Whoa, pow. And then a little lower to that, Peach Dragon, Sausage Party, mm-hmm. Rogue One.
Yeah.
And Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, Rogue One didn't make my top 10, but I wrote it down. Same thing with Sausage Party.
Okay. And now going to 11s. These ones, I was like, oh man, these might as well just be 10. These might as well be 10. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. These might as well be 10. Kubo and the Two Strings.
Never saw.
Which I know you didn't see. Yep. The Witch is fucking my favorite. This is my favorite horror movie of the year. I think it might be. Deadpool and Doctor Strange. Practically, I can't even decide which one of those two comic book movies I like the most because they're so like, they both have things going for them and things going against them in their own ways that it almost cancels each other out and they're just like, boom, and almost, they're sniffing that top 10. If you ask me on a different day, if you had asked me a week ago, Deadpool would have been in the bottom three, you know? It's all about, this is the thing, these are our favorite movies at this moment.
No, dude, this list
for both of us.
My list has changed so many times.
Your list changed right before we recorded.
I mean, it changed, it might be changing as we speak.
This list literally solidified 5 minutes before we hit record, and then it's going to be amorphous when we're done, so. But you guys get it. This is just a chance for us to talk about all the movies we watched from last year. So Deadpool and the Doctor Stranges. I said that one. This one is like the fucking, for me, it's like the sleeper movie of the year. The one everyone slept on, totally underrated. I feel like it's something that hopefully people will come back to down the road. It'll find its audience.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it does. Don Cheadle's Miles Ahead, his sort of Miles Davis biopic.
It was good.
I rewatched that on DVD and I was like sucked into it. I was like, I'm into it, this movie. It's so good. It's so fun and inventive with the form of cinema in a way that I think Miles Davis, the jazz artist, would appreciate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I said that was Nixon, right?
Yeah.
A Bigger Splash, I say that?
Ah, yes. That was, The Fines.
A Bigger Splash was fucking...
It was good.
So good.
It was good.
So good. And, pretty much that's 11 there. So here we go. I got... Let's do top 10. Or what, does Billy have honorable mentions? Or
no.
He just has a top 10?
He's got a top... He just has...
He just has a list of 10?
He has movies that he liked.
Let's hear his list of...
Oh, what is up, my dudes? Wanted to say that my top three are basically all tied for my favorite of the year... Here we go.
Here we go.
Green Room.
Yes.
The Witch.
Yes.
High Rise.
Yes.
Deadpool.
All right.
Midnight Special.
Yes.
Kubo.
Midnight Special. I forgot to write that one down. Yes. Midnight Special is like a 12 or 11 for me.
The Eyes of My Mother.
Mm-hmm.
Nocturnal Animals.
That's my mother. I didn't see Nocturnal Animals yet.
The Nice Guys.
Nice Guys. Yes.
OJ. Made in America.
You see, I see people listen to that. That's a TV. Made for TV. I don't know. I don't count it. It is amazing, though.
Tickled.
I haven't seen it. I want to see it.
Baskin.
Not even sure what that is.
My Scientology movie.
Billy's Scientology movie?
It just says My Scientology movie.
Billy, you made a Scientology movie and you put it in your own top 10? what is this kind of pluggery? What is this? No, I'm sure it's something we just don't know what it is. Billy watches you think we watch a lot of movies?
Yeah, Jesus.
Where does he find the time? I don't know. All right, here we go. Then let's start with number 10. Drew, number 10, go.
Number 10, The Nice Guys.
Nice Guys, Nice Guys.
Hello, it's me, Mario.
I'm just gonna hit a random button, so here we go. Why Nice Guys?
Why? Because it was awesome. I mean, Russell Crowe, Ryan Gosling, it's a Shane Black movie. There's Christmas, there's violence, it's funny. I really enjoyed it.
So did I. I love that movie. It's so good. It is very Shane Blackie. My number 10 is... Oh, this should be... I shouldn't just hit a random button for this one. My number 10 is The Birth of a Nation.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, I'm gonna... No, I don't like that one.
You don't like that one?
I don't like that one at all. The Birth of a Nation, my number 10. Very, it's an intense movie. Very, very, it's a kind of movie that we need to see. It's a movie, people say it's another slave movie, blah, blah, blah. But there's not like there's a ton of slave revolt movies. There's not a lot of movies about, you know, some of those crazy stories that tell us the nuance of that time period. It's ripe for storytelling, you know? And I'm not saying it's got to be alternative mass entertainment, but it is... Cinema is an empathy machine, and I think it'd be important for people to watch something like this. Not just important, but also I think they'll be impressed with the artistic way it's made.
Yes.
12 Years a Slave is like still paintings come to life. Django Unchained is like the
it's a comic book
the pulpy comic book version, And this is like the gritty, real, almost like Jason Bourne-y. I don't want to, you know, not stylistically, but aesthetically, it's like this is how it was, you know, kind of an intense way. Just kind of matter of fact about it.
All right.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
My number 10, because it affected me.
It did.
All right. What's number 9?
Number 9, Hell or High Water.
Oh, yes. I forgot to write one down, too. Yeah, Hell or High Water is like a 12 for me.
Yes. I'm not usually into Westerns, but this one's, it's modern.
Modern Western.
It's a Western. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's one of these post-recession movies.
Mm-hmm,
It is very of the times, and I really enjoyed it.
It's like the same genre as like 99 Homes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Short.
Yes.
Yeah, these kind of financial malaise type of things.
Yeah.
Take Shelter is that type of movie, but without... They're still talking about finances in the movie, but...
Dude, it's raining oil.
It's raining oil. Yes, I was going to say, it's raining oil. They do it visually. Jeff Nichols does it visually. Midnight Special. I wanted to mention that. I did want to mention Midnight Special because... and I'm glad Billy wrote it down. I wanted to mention it because I did not see Jeff Nichols' Loving.
Mm.
Which I'm sure I would have.
Yeah.
Sure, I would have loved, but I have to see a lot of movies we haven't seen.
Yeah,
kind of slacking. Not slacking. It's not that we're slacking. It's just that there's other stuff to do.
There is.
My goddamn life.
Yeah.
God. Oh, and how are the days getting shorter? Where's the time going? How's this happening? Why are we recording so late? Haven't had dinner yet.
We get older. On numbers.
What on?
7.
Wait, that was your number 9?
No, 10, 9. So we're on number 8.
Wait. My number 9
yes.
was Nocturnal Animals.
Okay.
Because I love the intensity of it. Mm-hmm. It's definitely one of the most intense movies of the year that I've seen that would be having me be like, oh shit, what's going to happen next? That type of way.
Definitely.
The exact ending of it, the ambiguous ending, sure, I get it.
Sure.
I would have liked maybe something a little more thoughtful. I think the audience might be being asked to bring a little too much to the table. Well, then again, I haven't read the book. Who knows if that's exactly the way the book ends, et cetera, but I liked it enough to be like, number 9. Today, if you ask me now, it makes my top 10. Number 8. Here we go, Drew.
Number 8. High Rise.
Yes. High Rise. There you go. You put in your...
It was, dude, I'm a fan of Mr. Wheatley. I'm a fan of Jeremy Irons.
You thought it was a 2015 movie, though.
I did.
Because the internet, it came out, I think, in the UK at the very end of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it came out here in 2016.
Yeah. So I mean, it's got to make the list. It was one of my favorite movies of the year. I mean, the shit was insane.
So Jeremy Irons and one of your least favorite movies of the year,
and one of my most favorite. Yes,
I love the Jeremy Irons. That's how good I am. I'm in the worst. I'm in the best.
Hey,
people just want some more jammy.
Exactly. I mean, he's an okay Alfred.
I like him as Alfred. I hope he gets to do more in the Batman movie. He won't get to do anything in the Justice League movie.
He should grow a mustache. Alfred's got a mustache, bro.
Does he traditionally? I guess he
traditionally
does.
Traditionally he does, yeah.
I guess he does. He didn't have one in this movie. Did he just have stubble?
I mean, Michael Caine didn't do the mustache either.
That's true. Michael Caine did not have a mustache.
He should have, though.
Michael Caine. I just say his name over and over and try to say it in his voice. If you got to say the person's name of the impersonation that you're doing as you're doing it, then you're not doing a good impersonation. I know that much. My number 8 is Green Room.
Nice.
For much the same reason Nocturnal Animals is. It was like one of the most tense movies I've ever seen. I was like, oh!
Yeah.
I was like, oh my god! It's intense. I love it. It's super cool. I gotta say, I think I like Blue Ruin a little bit more. Blue Ruin made my like top 2 or 3 the year that came out. And it was only a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And Green Room is still, it's like, I feel like it says less.
Yep.
But it does more.
Correct.
That's why, in comparison to Blue Ruin. And it's so weird how it's Blue Ruin and Green Room. There's no, the Colors trilogy is going to do another one.
And you know what, Chris? That's a great segue into my number 7.
Which is?
Green Room.
Oh, shit. Again, random, but that didn't really, it wasn't funny or anything. I gotta get better at this. I'm gonna get better at this. No. I swear to God. Yeah, Green Room. Yeah,
Green Room was awesome
for the same reason. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, my number 7, you didn't see, The Handmaiden.
Yes.
Chan-Wook Park, guy did Old Boy, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, Sympathy for Lady Vengeance, Stoker. Did you ever see Stoker? Nicole Kidman,
No, Tom Hiddleston. Was that Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston and Mia Wasikowska.
No, everybody raves about it.
It's a great movie. Yeah, it's a Chan-Wook Park. He has a style. Thirst. You ever see his vampire movie?
Yes.
Man, that movie is so good. That's a fucking great movie. He's good. And The Handmaiden is wild. It's wild and cool and weird and sexy and perverse and all the things you expect now from this guy, the South Korean filmmaking master at this point. I mean, dude's been doing it for long enough, I feel like.
Yeah.
He gets his props.
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. And I now I'll see any of his movies and just be like, where's the story going? I have no idea. But I trust this guy to, like, take me somewhere weird but guide me safely to the end.
Yes.
Hopefully intact. Handmaiden, totally worth it. Check out my number 7. Number 6, Drew, go.
The Witch.
Oh, shit.
Black Phillip had to make my top 10, dude. I mean, that... it's so... Like, you're watching this movie, and it's like... It's this slow family movie about, you know, they're on the fringe of society, and the dad's kind of a stupid asshole.
Stupid religious asshole.
And the daughter's getting, you know... fucking shammed on for everything. You know, she does everything wrong, this, that, the other.
Just coming of age, poor girl.
And then you come to realize at the end of it all, where it really ramps up, and it's like, oh yeah, no, Black Phillip's the fucking devil. He was really talking to the kid.
Yeah.
And now he's taking her to the other naked chicks in the forest, and they're a bunch of witches. Holy fuck.
Yeah. Crazy ending.
It's like, yes!
What a crazy ending.
It was really awesome. I mean, I'm usually not one for horror movies, but this was more of like a suspenseful period piece that just happened to do with the devil.
It just happened to. It's more about atmosphere and tension and mood and like really developing characters in a way that you can see how they will do harm to each other.
Yes. Yes, they will.
And you're like, oh, this is a fuck situation for everyone involved.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny. Number 6, right?
Yeah.
The Nice Guys.
Ha!
I love The Nice Guys. Shane Black, man. If he made a Nice Guys Kiss Kiss Bang Bang crossover movie.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
I'd be like, what? That was an off-mic conversation. Yeah. Yes, but you were right. We did talk about that yesterday. Because it would be so awesome if we took... The private eye agency set up in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. Awesome rapport.
Yes.
They have to work with the private eye. What if they're like competitors, but then they have to work together on a big case. They got to team up with the Russell Crowe, Ryan Gosling, Nice Guys, Private Eye. They're already private eye agents. They're practically the same characters. Why didn't he just make Kiss Kiss Bang Bang 2 like the Nice Guys? You know what I'm saying?
Dude, Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man now.
So expensive. Yeah, but they're also simpatico. He was like, we need a director for Iron Man 3. I know a guy.
Yeah.
I know a guy I know a guy who directed exactly one movie. And they're like, oh, we'll give him $175 million. And then they did. And then Shane Black showed up. He was like, you know what I'm going to add to... You know what Iron Man needs? Christmas trees and voiceover. And they're like, we've never done that before. And it's like, you're doing it now.
Doing it now.
and then they did it. And then I was like, it's a Shane Black Iron Man movie.
This is.
But then it still had the stupid ending or like the bigger suit ending. Anyway, why are we talking about a movie from 2012? Because it's Shane Black.
Yeah.
Nice Guys. It's so good. It's so good. It's the badass cowboy of the street. The Nice Guys is what it is.
Yeah.
But the true, like, black or Hispanic gaucho cowboys, as opposed to the Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, white Hollywood cowboys. Read some books, motherfuckers. I don't know where that came from. I'm going to drink some more. Drew, what's your number 5? Oh, we're breaking into the top 5. Oh, shit. Wait.
Top 5. Number 5. Doctor Strange,
the strangest of doctors.
I love the Benedict Cumberbatch. Those freaking visuals were so crazy.
Absolutely.
So much fun.
In 3D.
I dug it
so
all.
So good in 3D.
You know,
worth it.
I mean, yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch did a great job. I really liked how it got to, like, the ethereal plane. And I mean, if you thought Guardians of the Galaxy was some weird shit, well, guess what? This is a whole new ballgame.
100%.
And I really like the way that it, you know, it's...
It really dimensions.
Exactly. It opens up the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
To whatever the fuck you want to do.
Forget the fringes of outer space. Yeah, how about the fringes of your mind?
How about the fringes of reality?
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. So...
Doctor Strange numero cinco.
I don't know what your supporters have to do with that exactly, but I meant to hit the applause button again. Number cinco. My number cinco. Silence. Silencio, senor.
There we go.
I may have been higher on my list if I didn't. It was so late at night and I was so tired and it's so long.
It is.
But I still was like, this is a... Scorsese, when he sets out to make a movie, like, he knows what he's doing. And in this case, he was like, I'm making an Akira Kurosawa movie. And he fucking did it.
He did.
And it's kind of amazing. It's like a masterful piece of throwback filmmaking, which I just feel like, in a way, I wasn't in the exact right mindset to see it at that time. Mm-hmm. But I did realize, like, this is, like, speaking to me in a way. Because I do have a lot of religious things going on. Yeah. And questions about that shit. Talk about it on the show.
Everybody does.
Yeah, everyone does. Exactly. 100%. Well, no, some people are a little more secure in their religious beliefs than others.
They shouldn't be.
Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is absolutely bliss, man.
You should be having... If you're not having an existential crisis once a day, you're not doing it right.
You're not thinking... You're not paying attention to everything. I definitely want to see it again, for sure. Yeah. And, but we've talked about Silence a lot recently on the show. Mm-hmm. So we actually, in the very last episode, we talked about it. So go ahead and just listen to that. What's your number four?
Number four, Deadpool.
Oh. I just hit that button again.
It doesn't do much. These comic book movies have been killing it lately.
They're actually good.
And this Deadpool, of all of them, I mean... It was rated R.
Yes.
It made a bunch of money. It cost no money to make. Ryan Reynolds just banked.
He did so smart.
And this movie opened up for the Logan movie that we're going to see. If Deadpool didn't happen, we would not have gotten Logan.
It definitely helped Fox to be like, yes, do the R-rated.
Now we can get R-rated comic book movies, and it opens up to tell a lot of really adult stories.
Man, then hopefully Fox will be like, let's finally make that R-rated, super pulpy, low-budget Ghost Rider movie.
Let's do it!
It's gotta be done.
Yeah!
You know, fuck the TV Ghost Rider and all that shit. Nobody cares! It should be done. Them Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Last Ghost Rider movie wasn't awful.
I don't think it was awful. I think people lump it in with the first one.
No way. The first one was so bad. Second one was...
First one's incredible
above
garbage.
And beyond.
Second one, in comparison to the first one, second one's like, goddamn, Mona Lisa movie. Movies. Yeah. But it's got things about it. I'm like, this is really cool, actually. It's Neville Dean Taylor. It's actually made sense to give the crank guys... Ghost Rider.
Yes.
But then to make it PG-13 is like, well, now you're just like...
Yeah, now you're killing it.
Now you're
castrating the bull.
Yes. You got the big-ass bull, and then you cut off its balls, and you're like, well, now the rodeo's not any fun.
Yeah.
Just kill the bull and make me a steak. Like, oh, now the steak's all tough because it's a big-ass bull with huge muscles. This is the worst. You guys suck at this bull castrating steakhouse business that you set up here. I don't even know why this exists. Where are we? Texas? West Texas?
Yes.
What are we talking about? Number West four. Texas. My number four is Arrival.
Oh, nice.
Yes, the sci-fi Denis Villeneuve film all about language and communication and empathy in ways like that. I think it's a very well-realized movie, a very smart movie.
It is.
And not the type of science fiction we get enough of.
No,
so,
correct.
That's my number four. Now we're getting to number three. Oh, shit. I'm going to say this real quick. My number three, the reason why my number three is number three, one, two, three, the reason I picked these are the only movies this year, really, that, like, truly affected me emotionally in any way whatsoever.
Okay.
To the point where, like, my number three, I'm not going to say what it is, but my number three is there, but it almost didn't even make my top 10, but I had to be honest with myself.
Yeah.
I was like... That movie did make me feel a little something.
Yeah, totally.
As opposed to, like, you know, The Nice Guys. I love The Nice Guys. This is an awesome movie. That didn't make me feel anything.
Number three.
What's your number three?
Swiss Army Man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did it make you feel anything?
It made me feel a lot of things, Chris. I mean, it proved
the movie about the farting corpse?
Exactly. It proved that Daniel Radcliffe has chops. First of all,
he's got weird chops to be.
He's no exactly, but
it's a weird display of chops.
It's a weird display of chops, but he's got the chops.
Yeah.
I mean, so I mean, it was an odd movie. It was strange. There was a cappella and covers of '90s songs, and
Jurassic Park. If you don't know Jurassic Park, you don't know shit.
It was happy and beautiful and really sad all at the same time. I mean. Sometimes you didn't know if it was real, and sometimes it wasn't real, and sometimes it was back to real, and it was a roller coaster of emotions.
And it got me.
I was in that glass box of emotions. I'm going to give that one a yes.
Numero tres, Swiss Army Man.
Beautiful Swiss Army Man. The Farting Corpse movie makes your top three. Uh-huh. You're crazy,
Drew. I know.
My number three, almost, like I said, this one almost didn't even make my top 10. I was like, do I really like this movie? But I had to admit to myself, this is going to be my standard for this current top 10 list. This is one of the very few movies that affected me in some way. La La Land. Yes, thank you.
Gotcha.
Thank you. La La Land. Yeah, nice. I know you're like, when you read your original review, you're like, I don't even like musicals now.
I don't.
Like, this movie.
Well, no,
this movie cements the fact that I don't like musicals.
Exactly, because if I was ever going to like a musical, that was going to be the one that I was going to like.
With great actors, a good story, directed by the guy who did Whiplash, written directed by that guy. It should have been that one.
It should have been it.
Wasn't it?
And it didn't do it, so.
Drew's officially off of musicals.
So there we go. I don't have to worry about it anymore.
You don't. Hey, that's not going to keep you open anymore. You've been sleeping better since, haven't you? You haven't been sleeping better. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I don't like musicals that much either. But there are a few parts of this movie that weirdly, and you know, in just small ways, kind of like blew gigantic holes through me. It was like it came at me with a tiny shotgun and just like, I just murdered you. And I was like, oh, fuck, I wasn't expecting that at all. I thought this was a song and dance movie about a couple of douchebags. And, you know, I don't know. It got me. It was good. I thought it was really good. Nice. So La La Land. What was your number two?
Number two, Arrival.
Oh, shit.
Like you said, we do not get enough sci-fi like that. I really like the way that they messed with time as a storytelling device.
Yes, and your concept of the way of narrative devices and movies and stuff.
The way that they tricked you, Chris.
They got you.
They fucking tricked me.
But they tricked everyone, but in a very smart way.
But a really smart way, and that's what I liked about it. It was, and like you said, we do not get enough sci-fi like that these days.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean...
Gives me a little hope for Blade Runner 2049.
I love sci-fi. I always have. So, if there's a good sci-fi movie, chances are it's going to make my top three.
For sure. It almost made mine with Arrival. Absolutely. That was your number two. My number two... The Swiss Army Man. All right.
The Farting Corpse movie. You're number two.
And if you told me when this movie came out, first off,
that it was going to make your number two.
And to this day, still, I'm not sold on the ending, the exact ending of the movie, on the beach and the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still not sold on all that. But the lead up to all that, the weird thing about that movie, I kept thinking about it. I kept coming back to it. If you had told me when we first saw it over the summer, this is going to be like your fucking one of your favorite movies of the year. I'm like, no way. There's all these other movies coming out. I'm like, all these other movies better.
Star Wars Rogue One is going to come out.
Yeah, exactly. All these great movies are about to come out. There's no way. But it is one where I'm like...
It stuck with me.
It stuck with me, and I'm like, I'm identifying with this character maybe too much. This is not good. but I am, and it resonated with me. I've been listening to the soundtrack a lot. It's a fantastic soundtrack. And that's my number two. So, what's your number one?
Well, on the count of three. Because I've been listening to our lists.
There's a movie.
I'm pretty sure. You ready?
We did on the count of three. We've done this before.
On the count of three. Ready?
Wait. So it's one, two, three.
And then
we say the movie?
Yes.
All right.
One, two, three. Moonlight! Yeah. I mean... That movie actually, like, affected me. Like, emotionally.
It's like, what?
I mean, it was... It was fantastic. It was well made. The lighting was great. These unknown actors were... Somehow they got three people to play the same person.
Which is crazy.
I don't know how they did it, but they did.
Cool Carl said it was for sure by good direction.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Obviously good acting too, but he found a way to direct these people to be like, you gotta... As a kid, as a teenager, and as what?
30-year-old? Seriously, a lot of people will hear what the movie's about and maybe be put off by it, but in this day and age, where we are living today, that movie needs to be seen by every adult.
I think so. And
because it is a slice of life that you do not know, that you are unaware of, and
And yet...
It's completely universal.
Yes.
Like, 100% universal.
100%, yes. It's a person that you, like, you don't know, unless you're someone like, oh, I do know this life. In which case, then damn, this movie must speak to you.
It's sorry.
Oh, my God. it's amazing that you finally get something that people finally get a movie that might reflect their, like, actual life experience and see it portrayed in such a humanizing and empathetic way. But, yes, it's such a unique perspective, but in its specificity, the universal truths are profound.
Yeah.
The desire just to be wanted and loved, and trying to fit into society and feeling like an outcast, being an outcast, lashing out and like being punished for like striking out at a system that's like trying to fuck you and all that stuff. I don't know. It is a pretty incredible movie and a very moving film. And yeah, I agree with everything you said. It's incredibly well made, well written.
Slight little tidbit: movie was produced by a fellow classmate of mine from Pineview, graduated 2001 with me, Adela Romanski.
Oh,
she picked up the fucking Golden Globe this year.
That is awesome.
Wow.
Let's get this person on the show, Drew. Reach out.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Make it happen, producer. Produce me a Golden Globe winning guest. Come on, man.
Perhaps.
Reach out.
We'll see what I can do.
Reach out, alumni. Yeah, see what you can do.
So, you know.
That's awesome. That is fantastic.
It is.
And, yes, it is another thing, too, where it was filmed in Miami. And
I didn't even know. Like, I was
one
just
of the last Florida productions, man.
I was on the Facebook. The Pineview alumni page put up an article. Pineview alum wins Golden Globe. And I'm like, who? Holy fuck, she graduated with me in my class.
That's hysterical. That's crazy. Get her on the show, and we can be like, "Oh, is that like making such an awesome movie? How do you know?"
Out,
that's fantastic. Yeah, man, I think it's a fantastic movie, and people should watch more. People should watch all these movies. People should watch more movies. We should watch more movies. Time, goddamn time! It's so hard to get more time. We need more time. Speaking of time, we're out of time.
It's time to eat some food.
We gotta bring this puppy home. Drew, thank you. Where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419, all over the interwebs. All
right, and you can hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crest, but up the show at Chris Bediso, Cinema Chris Bediso on Facebook and Instagram. We'll be back this weekend with episode 212 with a certain stand-up comedian / hot dog salesman. It's going to be an interesting show. I'm sure you're all looking forward to it as much as we are, now that you know. If those words mean anything to you, oh man, we should tell him to bring some lollipops.
We should.
You know about his lollipops?
I do.
We should get some.
We should.
All right. They're only $1 each.
No, exactly.
Put it on some lollipops?
Yeah.
I'm trying to cut back on the sugars, too. Well, support a goddamn local lollipop salesman.
I got 5 on it, bro.
I got 5 on it. I'm sorry. Guys, we are out of here.